gentlemen, I'd like to welcome everybody to our August 21st Commissioners Court meeting. Let the record reflect that we barely have a quorum. Mr. Brandon is here, Mr. Mars is here, and myself, Mr. McAnally and Commissioner Natuno are not here. But we do have a quorum, therefore I want to call the meeting to order and ask that you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a word of prayer by Mr. Dieter, if he's willing to do that.
Mr. Dieter's always willing.
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas. One state, under God, one and indivisible. Mr. Dieter?
All right. Precious Lord, as we come before you this morning, we ask you to give us guidance and direction for the good of this county and beyond, and the decisions that need to be made. We pray that there'll be prudent decisions and constructive decisions. We ask your blessings upon all that are in attendance that really care about this county, with their presence being here. And we ask your blessings upon us as we leave today and we go about our business in different facets. And we ask you to use us for your glory and your honor and your praise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Item number four, do we have any public comment?
I do not.
Okay.
The baseball park in Shepherd is looking nice.
That brings me to item number five, announcement and possible discussion of items of public or community interest for which no action will be taken. I saw some, I think we got a bill that come through and he attached some pictures, and that's good to know.
It looks good. It really does. I've been over there when everybody's gone, looking around, making sure, and it's almost final.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
It didn't take about, what, 6 years?
Something like that.
Yes. Took a while.
But thank y'all guys.
So, just so I can share it with everybody, I filed a budget on the 15th, proposed budget. It's just a proposed budget, and we voted and had a meeting to set the proposed rate, which is down from 0.53 to 0.50. And when I send out, when I file the budget, the proposed budget, the law requires that I send a letter to each elected official advising them of the proposed salaries in the proposed budget. This year's proposed budget, considering the financial situation we're in with the jail and being shut down, I did not place any raises in the budget, so I've received four or five grievances from various elected officials, and the law requires at some point to some years, earlier on in the year, we'll have an item on the agenda to establish the grievance committee under 152.014 of the local government code. I wasn't expecting grievances, but we haven't, so far this year, we haven't set up the committee. And I'm not trying to duck or dodge, but I think there is a timeline that we have to have the meeting set and all that good stuff. So I'm toying with the idea of discussing that issue, however slightly, in executive session, And then coming back in item 19, adjourn executive, reconvene, so we could then establish the grievance committee. But whatever you guys think, or do we have time to wait until another meeting to set and set the committee at that point? The time thing is what...
Yeah, the time frame.
I just think going to get done, get over with.
Is that going to give you guys heartburn if we know we need to do it, and it's not like we're spending money, but I'm disclosing it now. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't expect that, or I'd have put it on the agenda. You fellas be thinking about that. But I'm going to try to go through this pretty fast. There's not a big agenda, but I have pressing economic development matters that kick off about 1 o'clock today, so I'm going to try to run through this pretty quick. All right, item number 10, consideration, discussion, and possible vote to pass and approve the amendment resolution for TXCDBG grant CDB 210367 that reduces scope of work due to budget constraints. That's on your Fostoria Road?
Yeah, this was because we applied for it in 2019. And they finally got it approved last year, and we started doing it. By the time we got it approved, the amount, the length of the road that we were planning on originally had reduced because the cost of oil and everything went up. So this is just to clean that up.
Did you cut the length of the road, or sometimes they...
We cut the length.
They cut the width, you know, and it's you ain't got the most right of way. By the way, I went out there the other day, and the road looks fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. No, we had to trim off on the length. We couldn't do it on the width because it would affect it. We were trying to reduce the flooding by doing drainage, and it just wouldn't work to reduce the road size.
So what we're looking for is a motion to approve this resolution amending the contract with TDA for the block grant on Fostoria.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
I have a motion by Commissioner Brandon, a second by Commissioner Mars. I have a feeling those are the only two names I'm going to... Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous 3-0.
Thank you, John. Now, the next thing we'll have on there is to close this thing out.
Item number 11, consideration, discussion, and possible vote to amend or clarify the minutes from the March 23rd, 2022 Commissioner's Court meeting to reflect the awarding of, it says grand, but that should be grant administration service to Lankford Community Management Services for the Hazard Mitigation Plan Development and Grant Management Services, GLOMITLHMPP, and addition to item 12 as shown on the signed minutes from March 23rd, 2022. Now, we met, and I've looked at the minutes, and sometimes we bounce around. The way the minutes are kept, it's item 12, she writes 12, and they say what we did. And then if we go to item 34, the next item on there is item 34, and then you get back to 13, but we went to 12 at least 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. And they said we didn't do this, well, on page 4 of the minutes, it says that we actually voted, and I think Commissioner McAnally made the motion, Commissioner Brandon, I believe, made the second, and it passed unanimously. So I don't know that there's anything that needs changing.
Only that Judy Lankford of Lankford Community Management Services, in how it described it, it said HMGP, and then in parentheses it said Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. If it said Hazard Mitigation Plan, that makes it
we need to do is go in there and just make
word change.
It needs to just say Hazard Mitigation.
And I'll make that motion.
I'll second that motion too.
So what it says is consideration, discussion, possible vote to open bid packets and select an administration service provider for HMGP Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, and it says 75/25. I was at the meeting and I thought we passed everything that was necessary to hire y'all to move forward with hazard mitigation plan.
And yes, sir, I was too, and I remember it, and it was a lot of discussion back and forth on that one.
Yeah, we bounced around about four different things. We sure. Let the record reflect we had three grant administration firms, so nobody can say we didn't comply with the procurement rules. We did all that correctly. GrantWorks, Langford, and H2O Partners each submitted a proposal. So, and I said, yes, exactly right. Commissioner McAnally made the motion. Commissioner Brandon seconded it. 5-0 unanimous. So, do we have something with the... Let's see. What is it that you think we did wrong? I think we're shining a spotlight on this issue that they're going to easily recognize when they audit us later on. And so you're thinking from the other direction, obviously.
And I can truly appreciate that. You actually had two things on the agenda that day, and that's why there's a little confusion in...
Well, we had 25 things on the agenda that day.
Well, on just that one item.
One for engineers and one for grant writers.
Yes. So you also had two separate different proposal packages. One was for HMGP and one was for HMP. And that was where the confusion lay, if you will. But for the purposes of, this is actually GLO, and when you receive those three packages, it wasn't under the HMGP program, it was actually under the GLO program.
We're splitting hairs here.
I know.
When I put on here, I'm trying to let the public know what we're talking about, hiring a grant people for the HMGP program, and there's a few more digits that go to this phase of it and that phase, and that's what we're doing. I think we intended to deal with anything to do with HMPG, whether it was FEMA or GLO or whoever else there is that, and I don't want to create the impression that we're approving something that we didn't actually do, though.
You did do it.
Okay. All right.
I don't intend for you to have any impression. You did do it. We went back.
You have some paperwork that we got when we approve it that we're going to sign that makes it clear, crystal clear.
Just the minutes saying, as opposed to saying hazard mitigation grant program, it needs to say hazard mitigation plan.
HMP is good.
I know we talked about both because it obviously is confusing me just a little bit because I thought we'd done everything we. I hate to belabor the point anymore. I have a motion by Commissioner. Brandon, let's see, who made this? Oh, it must have been Commissioner Mars. Any other comments? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So the minutes are hereby clarified, I hope. You'll have to.
Yeah.
Put the appropriate language in there because she's going to want a copy of the minutes when we approve them at the next meeting. And
correct.
So all her ducks will be in a row, so to speak. Thanks again for helping us clear that confusion up, Miss Judy. Anything else you got today?
I don't think so. I appreciate it. Sorry.
I may have I think that last guy's not going. I got one extra. If you want to hang around till 11, we'll go down and watch them.
You know, I would pick you up on that. That sounds like.
I'll have her give you a call too.
You're so kind.
Yeah. Number 12, consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve memorandum of understanding between DPS Texas Council of Governments and San Jacinto County on the web EOC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all should have had in y'all's packet. Is this an update to the web EOC that we've been working on?
Can you briefly tell the public what a web EOC is?
So the web EOC program is a way we track storms, and potentially if we were to have a bigger county or agency, it's a way for other cities or hospitals to be able to request.
EOC is Emergency Operating Center.
Yeah.
And this is kind of, y'all have a way of doing it on the web, hence the term web EOC.
Yes, sir. They recently went to the cloud program, so that's why we see a little bit of an increase in cost. So.
All right. I have a motion by Commissioner Brandon.
I have second it.
I have a second by Commissioner Mars. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous. 3-0. Thank you very much. Let's see. 8:21:24. Next, number 13, consideration, discussion, and possible vote to approve the cost match with DETCOG of the Genesis Alert System.
So the Genesis Alert System is something we've been using for the last about year and a half to notify citizens of potential storms or hazards for the county. We do partner with the DETCOG region, which saves us pretty much $30,000 a year to be on this system. And so that's what that is.
So, what does this system do again?
So when we have potentially wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes.
How does it communicate with the world?
Via emails, phones, text message, Facebook.
That's good.
I'll make that motion.
I have a motion by Commissioner Brandon.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Mars. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Ayes.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. It's unanimous. 3-0. Item number 14, consideration, discussion, and possible vote to approve local disaster declaration for border crisis. Somebody asked me to put this back on here.
Yeah, that was the sheriff's office. They were supposed to be here to talk about that this morning. They went out for another grant for the border crisis, so I can't really speak on exactly what it is.
I think it's the same one.
We did it about a year ago.
Operation Lone Star.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We applied for the grant last year, and
fell through.
Well. We're way away from the border, and there's so many more closer. That was kind of the input I got from somebody had talked to the state, you know, what's the chances maybe. But you can't receive if you don't ask.
Right.
In order to ask, I guess you have to have a look. What's the timeline looking like on it?
I don't know.
Perhaps we can either do something today, or we can wait till somebody's here with them to talk about it. And
I think it's the same one they applied for last time that we didn't get nothing on.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Or twice.
This is just to
a local declaration to be able to apply for.
I don't see why we don't. I mean, it don't cost us nothing.
Yeah, I just I'm gonna sign a local, we're gonna sign a declaration of a disaster situation having to do with, the border crisis.
Well, we'll just table it and let them come in and talk to us about it.
Do you have a copy of the declaration? I haven't seen it.
I haven't either.
I didn't get one.
I haven't.
Wait a minute, I got something here. I don't know if this, yeah, I do have one.
Well, I didn't get one.
It was emailed later.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't with the packet, that's why.
I do have one, and it's nicely done. It's got a very nice seal on the top of it. It's nicely done, whoever did it. This declaration hereby authorizes all the use of all lawfully available resources and authority granted under the Constitution of the State and the Constitution of the United States. Proclamation renewing the proclamation concerning the border security. It's not that everybody in the county doesn't have some concern about what's going on at the border, because we do. It affects us in ways that we may not even fully appreciate. We're certainly not suffering the effects as bad as the border counties, but I mean, a resolution in support of the thing is one thing. Declaring a disaster may be another.
How long do you put it on the next agenda?
Of course, on the other hand, I don't think it hurts anything to do it. I just, it's clear I think you have to do it in order to be able to apply for the truck. So,
long story.
You have to apply.
They've applied. The state reached out and said, hey, we don't have an updated declaration. And so that's where this is coming from.
So it's just basically doing the paperwork?
Yes, sir.
I'll make a motion to approve the declaration pending the sheriff's office provide a copy of the application before it is submitted.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I'll second that.
Okay. I have a motion by Commissioner Brandon. A second by Commissioner Mars. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think there's so many of them we do. But
yes.
I'm not sure if their people did that. But I think I have to go log in somewhere and
sign.
Push the secret button.
You do. They filled it out. You have to admit it.
Yeah, you're right. Well, before I push any buttons, I'll certainly wander around the portal and there was a list, and it was quite extensive of everything they asked for.
Like $1.7 million.
Yeah.
They asked all kinds of stuff.
Don't think you're gonna get anything though if you don't ask, though.
That's right.
I get that. All right, I have a motion by Commissioner Brandon, second by Commissioner Mars. Any other comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous, 3-0.
Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Did you get a copy of it? I don't know if Tracy.
She did. It was later.
Did that later or what?
Do you want this? I have a copy of it.
You can send it to me.
Get marks on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, get marks on it. Donnie may want that copy. I don't know. Donnie, you want a copy of it?
Nope.
All right.
When it gets off, so I'll get one.
Item number 15, consideration, discussion, and possible vote to review reporting of detention payout for the fiscal year 23-24 and to determine to continue or cease the overtime payout for detention officers. Ms. Bailey?
Yes, I have a report that has printed out. It's
continue, and I figured that we would decide that before the end of the budget.
We're not having no overtime now.
Well, I know over the last year or so, we've we've had shortages in manpower, and we've added jailers, and we've added.
I can't hear you.
I thought we were at a point where we had finally added enough people to. This was all supposed to help reduce the comp time, because if you got enough staff to fully do the job, there shouldn't be any need for any comp time. But it doesn't always work out the way you draw things up, you know.
This week.
How terribly rude of me. Anybody got a pocket knife? I could cut this up into 17 little slices. Somebody was kind enough to bring me some breakfast. Oh, you do have
it. The report I gave you is the one for the last 2 years.
And there's another one.
As we shall receive.
For this week?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to blame it on my diabetes. I need to take a bite.
So why are we getting overtime for this week? Why are we getting overtime for this week?
Sir, having to work overtime. We're taking care of inmates in another jail.
I understood there's only two that are working over there. Is that not right?
Every shift.
What about the five or six working over in Liberty County? Why can't they help over there?
What five or six?
One is working at the emergency room.
Liberty County? Mm-hmm. I don't have anything in Liberty County.
Okay.
I'll finish that later. There's some secret sauce in there, too. Okay. Once I thought once we got fully staffed that this would go away.
It should have. You mean they're over in Liberty County and Polk County?
I still have five positions open. We're not fully staffed.
Okay, well it started probably before you were here. They came. We declared an emergency and we gave those people a raise. And I think that helped, you know, they were able to hire some more people, but you still are five short. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I'm still short.
So if you don't have enough people to fill every slot, somebody's got to work over. That's what's essentially is still happening, huh? So what kind of, I suppose you're still looking for more help. What are you doing to find more folks? What are we trying?
It's on the internet. It's on Indeed. We're taking applications. We have people applying, but they're not all passing the requirements to be able to work.
I get that. So, I get that. It used to be that the success rate for people to pass the jail certification test is remarkably low, believe it or not. It's not as easy of an exam as one might think it would be.
And it's a
Is that right? Am I, don't.
Yeah. And it's a lot harder now because there is a lot of mental health that the jailers have to learn. It's not just, you know, how to feed somebody and how to pick a tray for a feed spot. It's a lot of mental health now.
Yes, ma'am.
So, it's harder to catch.
So we have, the way I take it, we have three jails holding our inmates right now. Is that the, four? Okay, how many do we have at what jails? Brazos?
Just first give us a total of how many we got.
47 right now.
Oh, that's good. That's down. We've been pecking away at it.
So we have how many in, how many officers, how many we have in the women's?
We have three over in Brazos County.
Three at Brazos, okay.
There are four at Houston County.
How many?
Four.
At where?
Houston County.
Houston Crockett.
There are 15 at Walker County.
Three at Brazos for females, I take it.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have two. So we have two jailers in Brazos.
No, sir.
How many?
We have no jailers over there working.
Ma'am.
We have no jailers over there working. They're charging us full price to take.
We just have them at Polk County. Is what I thought.
Yeah, we only have them working at Polk.
Yes, ma'am.
So how many do we have working in Polk County?
Two.
How many jailers?
Two at a time, two per shift.
But right now there's
two 12-hour shifts.
We have two training.
Two 12-hour shifts.
Yeah, there's two training on there also.
So,
four jailers.
So we have three. So we have three. We have three there.
There's
every
four
shift.
Right
huh?
There are four over in Polk County right now.
But you said you had two training.
Two are training.
So that means six.
There are two working.
Okay, that's what I asked.
Hey, let's give this a little thought. I got some other things that I want to make sure get done, and maybe people can go back to work. I'm going to jump over to 16. Consideration, discussion, and possible vote to approve bond renewals for SJC Elections Administrator Cheryl Sewell Walker. She's a Sewell by birth and a Walker by choice, I guess. Where is she? There she is. Everybody knows her by Sewell anyway. Elections, and Elaine Thompson, also with elections. I have a motion by Commissioner Brandon.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Mars. Any questions? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous. 3-0. 17, consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve presentation. Wait a minute, let me stop there. Let me go to 18. 18, consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve dates and times for early voting and number of workers needed for both early voting and election day. So.
Yeah, that's the type of work you know.
That's a good thing, I reckon. These are the standard times. There's nothing extra, I guess.
No, basically the only choice we really have is on the time of the on Sunday, which can be like before noon. But
you're not proposing that, are you?
No, I'm proposing it starts after church at 1.
Yeah. Okay. So, since we're talking about elections, while y'all are pondering who's going to make the motion, I have a motion by Commissioner Brandon.
I'll second.
Second by Commissioner Mars. Any other comments? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous 3-0. While we're on the election topic, there's no paperwork that we need to sign. Okay. Well, they're approved for the record. We're also having an ESD election. And I know we voted to do that. Can you check the your minutes or whatever, well, sometimes I think we actually sign an order ordering the elections. We've never done an ESD election. I expected one of those two or three lawyers that was representing them, one of them would have produced such an order. I don't recall if we signed an order.
We did not, and one of them did say that they would create it.
Well, I've been suggesting that to them, just like that notice.
What?
Instead of calling us and emailing us every 15 minutes about the order, why don't you submit the order, kind mm-hmm. of a deal. I didn't want to say any of that until I verified with you whether or not.
Right.
I don't think we did. I don't recall one, but you,
we did
much
not.
Younger, fresher mind, you probably would remember it when I wouldn't.
Yeah.
As far as you know, we did not.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Judge,
there was
yes,
not.
Ma'am.
Since the ESD is not established yet and it is under the county election, wouldn't an order for the county election cover all of that? Until it is.
I think there's got to be a separate order, and it specifies the rate that came up in the subject, and I said, I don't know if that's our bailiwick, but actually it is. That's a requirement in that proposed order to set that rate, which I think they said they want to set it at 0.999. Well, the cap is 0.10. I'm not sure why they didn't just go with 0.10. Oh, they do? Well, then there you go. Anyway, get you to like put that on the next agenda?
For the order?
Yeah, to do with an order.
Okay.
All right. Number 17. Thank you very much. Was there anything else?
Yes, the approval of the number of workers.
Get it all out, because we
approved the number of voters, workers for early voting and for election day.
Well, did the motion not cover that?
It did.
Ma'am? I think it did.
It did.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Item number 17, consideration, discussion, and possible vote to approve the presentation of annual financial and single audit reports by Lewis Breedlove with Brooks Watson and Company for the year ending 9/30/2023.
Good morning.
So just for the record, I'm not going and sitting in your seats at the game this afternoon, but where are y'all seats located anyway? Alright, that's what I want to hear.
I'll try to make.
I have actually refused seats from many moons ago. An audit firm had some seats. I declined.
I respect.
Go ahead.
That.
Yes, sir.
I'll try to make this as quick as possible for you all. My name is Lewis Breedlove, Senior Audit Manager at Brooks Watson. For you, I do have the 2023 fiscal year audit report. In front of you, you should have a bound copy of the report.
And you are Lewis, right?
Yes, sir.
For the world to know, okay. Go
yes,
ahead.
Sir. And with that report, and I have this printout here, the presentation, I'll utilize that to go over the results of the audit. First, if you follow along with me, page 2 of that, you got all the arrows on. I do like
all the what?
All the arrows on
it. Oh, I thought you said arrows, and I thought, this, you got the wrong, that's Liberty County.
Wrong page.
Go ahead, sir.
I like to just give a quick overview of the audit process just to make sure everyone is aware of what we're doing during the audit. So we do the audit in three stages. So the first stage, we're doing some assessments and risk approach. Assessments, we come through, like anywhere where money's coming in and going out, we're evaluating the controls that are in place. Have process, procedure, walkthroughs, and questionnaires that we have completed, and we do sample testing over each of those areas to make sure that what we see in practice is consistent with what we would expect to see in those policies, procedures, and those completed questionnaires. In addition to that, we do a risk-based approach where we evaluate each financial statement line item within the financial statements. And that's just to, that can change year to year, the risk. And what that does is drive the type of procedures that we perform, to what level of detail we perform those procedures to make sure that we're comfortable with material accuracy of the financial statements when the audit's completed.
So I don't mean to throw you off track or anything, but I got something that I've been wanting to ask. So every year we're getting all kinds of federal grant money from here and there, and even the small grants, Savins, and I get these emails constantly, and they ask, you know, did you go over $750,000 in grant income and all that? And of course we are, I suppose. It's my understanding that there is a somewhere on the internet that these things get filed where these people could just go look it up.
That's right.
But is that correct? And what's the name of that?
It's Federal Audit Clearinghouse.
Federal Audit Clearinghouse.
Yeah, so once the...
Is it part of y'all's procedure to file that, or is that up to us to do?
No, we upload that, and then there's a sign-off on the county side as well. So once the
next one that sends me one of them snappy emails, I'm going to know what to at least respond. Well, you need to look at the Federal Audit Clearinghouse website.
Come year end, you get contacted by anyone you work with that has grants, and they're going to ask you if you meet their requirements. It's unfortunately.
Well, have we complied if we posted up there? Isn't that?
Well, that's once the audit.
Kind of like with land, you file the deed and the records, and it's of record, and go look it up.
Most of these agencies will still send a form that please fill this out. Did you or did you not meet the requirement?
Yeah.
And they just put that in their file.
Well, all along I thought that's what happens, and for whatever reason, instead of just looking it up, they choose to harass me with snappy emails. So.
That'll continue to happen.
Okay. All right. Go right ahead. Forgive the interruption.
No problem. Yeah. Any questions, I welcome them. Next, we do compliance testing. So, Public Fund Investment Act, grants, things of that nature. We review all of y'all's meeting minutes to see if there's a component that you may have approved as a compliance aspect to it that we need to look into. And then we do our field work. So that's when we actually are tying out year end, performing cutoff procedures, confirming with third party wherever possible. And then as we're tying out that balance sheet, we're testing the material accuracy of your revenues and your expenditures. Once we've done all that, we move to that conclusion and reporting phase. So we go through multiple layers of review and to ensure no additional procedures are necessary, prepare the report and letters that we have for you this morning. Next on page 3, just gives you a quick view of the components of the audit report. So there's an auditor's opinion letter, that's our opinion over the financials. Behind that's your management's discussion and analysis. That's going to give you some year-to-year comparison, as well as some commentary on some of the major, more material areas of the financials, such as your budget, capital, debt, things of that nature. Behind that, your basic financial statements. So that's going to be both your full accrual, government-wide statements, and your fund level statements. And then behind that's a bunch of notes that all those notes are going to give you a bunch of details pertaining to the numbers that are in those financial statements. And then behind that's required supplementary information, such as your budget to actual for your general fund, as well as pension and OPEB information, and then other supplementary information. That other supplementary information is combining schedules that pertain to the statements in the front. Next page, concerning that auditor's opinion letter, that first item on that list there, there are four possible opinion types that we as auditor are able to issue. There's an unmodified, qualified, disclaimed, or an adverse opinion. But the county did receive an unmodified opinion, often referred to as the clean opinion. That's the highest level of assurance that we as auditors are able to
provide. Where does it say that on this letter here? It's still on here somewhere, huh?
The term unmodified isn't listed in that. That's required language on that letter.
So we have to read between the lines and glean that information.
What it does is, if there is an issue, it makes that very clear. But it doesn't say clean or unmodified on the letter when it's clean and unmodified. It's an unmodified opinion. So
if you fumble the ball, the coach screams and hollers at you. But if you make a 99-yard touchdown, he may or may not just pat you on the back.
We'll start adding
basically what we're talking.
That's the best you can do is what the county received, and so that's what we want to see. And so clean opinion, look good report, and that's what.
Everybody hear that? Good, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Sir. Page 5, I just gave some quick financial highlights comparing the fund balance for the primary funds in view. So general fund ending at the end of fiscal year 23 had an ending fund balance of $6.8 million. That's up by $1.5 million from the previous year. It's primarily due to expenditures being under budget due to timing throughout the year. And then revenues being a little higher than expectations as well. Road and Bridge, we had a small change of 6,000 from the previous year at just over $1 million in fund balance. Road and Bridge 2 had an ending fund balance of 362,000.
Okay, so let me just stop you right there. I know the general fund, this is like the 20th budget year for me. The advisors always say you want to keep about 3 or 4 months worth of money in the fund balance to make sure you're capable of moving on if a disaster happened.
And I actually have a comment on that on the next slide.
Well, the road and bridge budgets, well, I don't know. They're, in one, for instance, their budget's a little over $1 million, and they got $1 million in fund balance. I don't guess that looks bad in your eyes, but in my thinking, that money is better spent out there on this blacktop. But I'm just my opinion. There is no negative implications from your point of view.
A lot of times it's a timing.
They're getting ready to do a big job, and they just hadn't, at the time of the, you checking the balance, you hadn't, like, I know Mr. Brandon's got a huge project over there on Lee Turner and other things, and they're fixing to.
Start money.
Yeah. And I get that. I'm just trying to make that point. People have asked me, why they got so much money stacked? Well, they're getting ready to you know.
Yeah, sometimes you'll see a build over a few years because they have a big plan for it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
This is a snapshot in time. It's not,
The
very next month, most of that could be gone because of some big project.
Right. So. I just wanted to make that point.
Precinct 2 don't have that.
People think, dadgum, man, they ought to be putting that on my road. My teeth are chipped because I'm hitting them potholes, but there's a plan. I'm sure there's a plan in place, and they're getting ready. I see what y'all are.
They don't ask me.
Yeah. And some of them spend it just quick as they get their hands on it. Ain't nothing wrong with that either.
Well, I mean, if there's projects going on, it can get spent quick, right? So. Overall, and then other Road and Bridge 4. Relatively consistent from the previous year, $723,000. Then the EDA grant fund is the next larger major fund. Most of that was used in 23 related to the
EDA?
Referred to as the EDA grant.
Oh, yeah. Well, that ought to be spent up.
It might be a little
retainage. I don't know if we've turned that loose or not yet, but maybe.
Yeah, it should have been closed out already, but as of the end of 23, there was a little left.
Is it retainage or retinage? I'm not sure.
Retainage.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then all other funds are all the special revenue funds that are for very specific purposes, and that just gives you an overall view. Didn't really change when you're looking at $6.8 million in fund balance, all consolidated, $170,000 decrease from previous year. It's really not a big change, but all that is, those are consistently used for those restricted purposes as intended. Moving to page 6, this gives you a quick.
Okay, that point I made, I look on page 6 and it says GFOA, whatever that is, says we should maintain no less than 2 months of regular. Well, we're a little bit conservative here, possibly, which I think is a good thing. Mm-hmm. We've always tried to at least have 3 to 4 months worth of.
Right, and so this.
I didn't realize anybody put that in print only 2 months.
That is the minimum recommendation.
Yeah.
And we typically make a recommendation of anywhere between 3-5, even if you see some will go as far as 6 months. But 3 months is a good, kind of our more recommended minimum, and then some will go more of that 5 months.
That's why I use GFOA.
Governmental Finance Officers Association. Yes, sir.
You pointed out that was their bare minimum recommendation.
That's their minimum recommendation.
As opposed to your recommendation.
Right. And so you guys are consistently, 22 was at 45%, 45.5, and 23 was a little over 49%. So close to that 50% mark, which is a healthy. It's not overdoing it. I've seen some out there who have a huge fund balance.
Yes,
sir. Closer to 100%.
Well, I mean, people aren't paying taxes just to let us pile it up. We're trying to do the best we can with what we have, and
probably won't be that next year.
No. That, and thank the good Lord that we're able to have a little something to lean back on.
But as it relates to the budget results for the year for the general fund, overall revenues came in $455,000 more than budgeted. Your expenditures was under budget by $1.2 million, and that's just due primarily to timing. And so a lot of those things were delayed during the year due to storms and other issues and just general delays as well. So you came in under budget there, so positive variance. And then other sources and uses, those are going to be things such as your transfers in, transfers out. A note was issued during the year, so that would be sources for the note issuance. And so overall there was a positive variance of $1.1 million. So overall, from a budget perspective, had a total positive budget variance of $2.7 million. So budget looked good. A lot of those things, you want to see those budget funds get utilized, but we know this is a timing issue and you can't control that.
Yes.
But yeah, overall, fund balance looks good for the general fund. Budget looked good. And next is related to the communication letter. So there's two letters that come with a report. The first letter is communication with those charged with governance. That letter, there's a lot of required communication as it relates to our responsibilities as it pertains to the audit, management's responsibilities, and a few other factors that
you're talking about this letter now?
Yes, sir. There's two letters. And the first one also includes the few adjustments that were needed. There were
You got on page two, item one, old bank. Items on bank reconciliation. I thought that had been that goes back to about at least two treasurers ago. I didn't know that was still an issue. I figured the lovely and delightful Miss Bailey was all over that.
Most of them are real small, and it's one of those things that it can easily build every single year. So. And also, you can just cheat those to the state, but they have a cap of, if it's under $100, they won't take it. So,
give me an example. Are we talking about excess proceeds in the district clerk's office or something like that?
No, what it is checks that have been cut and issued, and they just have not cleared. And you can void those checks out and reissue them if somebody's moved or they hung, it's a small amount so that they won't worry about it. And these checks just kind of build up.
So in 1998, I got appointed for the first of four times, and they put me on as temporary, and I worked a whole year. And they left me as temporary. They didn't pay anything into the – can we just convert one of them checks that hadn't been cashed and put that back in – I'm just being facetious. But I kind of get what you're saying.
It's really –
people actually – we send them checks, and they just don't cash it?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, you can go on to the state's website, put your name in, and – their Fugio, I looked it up, I had a $500 check out there I didn't have a clue about, and you just have to submit a request for it, and then
some of them are $10.
But we're not talking about any citizens' money that, I wouldn't want somehow.
You check it for yourself.
I'm talking about things, we have receivership accounts, and we can't,
sure.
Those get created because they couldn't find the people that were supposed to sign the oil lease, and the oil lease company files a suit to acquire access, and the money that goes to the guy we couldn't locate, we put it in an account over here, a receivership account. And at some point, he may get wind of it and show up and claim his money.
Sure.
That's just one example. There's a lot of money in the clerk's office for children who's lost their parents and things that we ain't talking about nothing like that.
No, these are mostly small checks that have been cut to folks who either lost them or forgot about it or whatever.
Yeah, I guess they could get them mailed and lose them, or they go to
give me a lost check and.
Started working on that with Kim Woolley at that time. If you remember, we started on that, and she left. We've had two new auditors since then, and we've never been able to get back to it.
And so it's a quick. If it's anything over $100, those can be sent to the state, and then that way it comes off the books. It's not something you have to worry about anymore. And then anything under that, you can create a liability account and just move it out of your cash. So that way, it's not reducing the cash balances.
So it's cheap. That takes 7 years, don't it? I believe.
To a sheet.
To a sheet, yeah.
To a sheet to the state, you can. It's something that we recommend looking at and doing annually.
Yeah, but I think the time. I don't think it just does it overnight. I think that takes like 7 years. That's the number that's stuck in my brain.
You should be able to upload those, and they become listed on the state.
We're not in any hurry to beat anybody out of their money. What I'm getting at. But at some point you gotta draw a line and
Well, I got a question for you. And I don't know if it's gonna come up next year or not. What I'm seeing, and I know the auditor's seen it, so as treasurer here of late, we have an issue with the post office making mail deliveries and vendors checks and everything not getting delivered, so they're having to cancel them out, rewrite and reissue.
Yeah.
How's that gonna be addressed in future audits? Because it's something we have no control over. That's a postmaster issue they failed miserably at.
Yeah, we've seen that.
I don't think he's suggesting that there's any fault with our
people. It's nothing about the process internally.
Houston's a problem here.
But it's the, if that happens, obviously, after a certain amount of time, you contact the vendors, say, you have this check, and if not, then you can void it and reissue it. One of the things about considered is whether or not you can put them on ACH and have that be something rather than pay by check, you can pay by ACH.
If I read your letter right, though, you basically say we might consider getting a list of all those and reissuing them checks and
if they've been recent,
perhaps doing a little internet login. David Brennan, he's over here in Idaho. Let's send it to that new address.
It could be that, hey, you might know some of the people on the list, go, hey, we can send that. So a little due diligence is good to try and get those to the right folks, but I mean, some people have moved and there's no way to know how to get it to them. So at that point, all you can do is shoot it or push it to a liability balance on them.
Yeah. I just want to make sure nobody gets
As far as that situation, you can similarly, you can reissue those checks. Look at doing ACH rather than checks. You run into the same, from a control.
ACH, that's how my wife gets my paycheck, where it just goes right into her account without me ever seeing it.
So, check fraud's still a thing, so that's another reason why to consider that as well. But that's not a poor reflection on anything internally for the county. That's just, unfortunately, something that we all have to deal with. Checking lost in the mail and having to reissue them.
Yes, sir. So bottom line, we've got a good report.
Well, everything looks good. I appreciate everyone working with. I know y'all have a new county auditor. Margie's been, she came in after this year and
well, we have the old auditor is still employed with the county, so we got lots of resources here.
That's right. Yeah, and everyone we worked with it has been great. We have.
I didn't mean that old I didn't mean old as in old. The former. Anyway.
But my contact information is there. So
you're gonna of the time there's like a re-engagement letter that'll have to be put on the agenda, or are you hollering calf rope that you've done with us?
No, I was gonna wait till we issued. Send you guys the updated engagement letter.
I figured that bug was already in your ear. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you all. And my contact information is there, so if you think of any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'm available year round. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Item number on the next item, I think we've covered all the main. Well, now, wait a minute. There's one that we got to go back to.
Yes.
Number 15, the consideration, discussion, possible vote for review, reporting, or detention payout for the fiscal year 2023-24 and determine to continue or cease the overtime payout for the detention officers. My only point about that is we just have a we could make a decision, or we could pass and wait until we have a full court here. This is pretty.
I'd rather wait until everybody.
Okay. Commissioner Brandon's motion to table is. I'm all for that.
I don't have a problem with it.
All right. We're going to table 15. We're going to put that on the next agenda when we have a full members of the court. Table to next meeting. All right, as I, in accordance with our, what do you call it? Desire to be upfront and open with everything that we do. I did mention that we have some grievances committed that's been filed as far as the salaries letters that was sent out. There is a need to constitute the grievance committee. The only way we can do that today is briefly discuss it in executive and come out in under 19. And I don't know how else to put it out there that we're going to do that. It is a statutory
mandate
requirement every year. We just hadn't done it for we don't always reconstitute it, but anyway, we're going to go into executive session and discuss that's under personnel issue. That's sort of a person because it's dealing with a personnel grievance. What time is it? Like
10:06.
Be very brief.
25.
Let the record reflect it's 10:25. We've discussed the grievance situation with the DA like we said we were going to. We're going to reconvene in regular session after adjourning executive session. Go to item number 19, adjourn executive session, reconvene in regular session for consideration and discussion possible vote on items discussed in executive session. And specifically, we discussed, since we have not formally configured the grievance, salary grievance committee under 152.014, it's time to do that since I have received 5 grievances from various elected officials, and I understand that more to come. I don't know, but anyway, we got to configure the grievance committee. So pursuant to local government code 152.014, I would entertain a motion to there's 2 options on reconfiguring the grievance committee or configuring a grievance committee.
I'll make the motion to configure the grievance committee by using the draw of from the hat of the general of the grand jury.
Okay.
I'll second that.
I got a motion by Commissioner Brandon, a second by Commissioner Mars to configure grievance committee. Pursuant to 152.014, and that's the section 2, if you said to pick 9 public members, and that they always draw out of a hat the members of past grand juries. That's where they come up with the random people. Any comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous, 3-0. So we gotta get the district clerk to give us a list of those, and we literally cut the names off, drop them in a hat, and perhaps you pull 9 names out, and we always probably pull an alternate.
I think so.
Yes, ma'am. You've been a part of that process before, haven't you?
Two years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that time we didn't. There's two ways to do it, but we have sent it to grand jury, and sometimes you send a notice to them, and they say, well, yeah, count me out on that, but remarkably, it's been my experience that usually they're eager to serve. So
the poke stuff.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to know which number.
Item number 6, consider approval of claims. Do we have any bills? I believe we do. Well, just for the record, I see Greg McGee, attorney at law. It's, oh, it is spelled right. M-A-capital-G-E-E. He does ad litem work and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Fees on behalf of Funderburk. That was a guardianship in my court. That looks like they're paying that out of county funds, but I've implemented a local standing order in guardianship and ad litem cases. I require when they file a guardianship or a probate, if there's going to be an ad litem appointed, they're required to put $400 deposit down so the county don't get stuck with those fees. It took a while to catch on to the need to do that, but so I think it's been working. Now they can't file without putting that in there, and then so that's some lawyer has deposited that money when he files the suit, so it's actually being, it's not coming out of our budget, even though we track it in the budget. Did I state that correctly?
You did.
Okay.
It goes into the court registry, and then it gets taken back out of the court registry.
See some checks for $1.66. Is that right? Oh well, never mind. $17,000 to Dragon. That must be why it's cool in here. We put a new compressor in there.
There was.
Air conditioner, yeah.
There was.
The building, well, it was a product of Ike, but which was 08, so I guess every 16 years you ought to replace a compressor where it needs it or not. Huh?
DP told me that he's having problems with his new air conditioning system over here already.
Well, that one's under warranty.
Yep. I don't know if he talked to Mr. Wood about it, but I know that.
I didn't
that.
Realize that.
Yep.
They're giving you the blues over there, Mr.
Started
Mr.
late last night.
Sir?
Late last night, he went and started messing up.
They're checking the filters routinely, I presume.
Oh, sure.
I know they are. Okay, where's this?
think DP was supposed to notify them today on that air conditioner. I talked to them this morning.
Oh. We got a couple of inmate housing bills.
Oh. So 19 days. Correct?
I think so.
From 8-1 to 8-20.
Well, this ain't all of them, but what's in here is $26,000 so far.
Yeah.
So, you got it coded to the American Rescue Fund Act? I don't think we can.
I talked to them that we're going to use the travel funds, but we can utilize those for this. So that's why it's
okay.
We can use what funds?
The LTC something something.
Yeah, I know the ones you're talking about.
They can utilize those. All I have to do is have the contracts and that from the.
We have contracts, yes. That's for sure.
All we have to do is supply that and this, and they should be covered under there.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. That's what we talked about, to use that fund for the jail roof.
Yeah.
For the what?
Jail roof.
Yeah. I can't hear you, David.
Jail roof.
Okay.
All right. Well, are there any bills that we got any concerns about?
Yeah, I've got one on page 11.
Page 11?
Man. We're gonna buy some toner for the whatever printer prints this up, or either get me some stronger glasses. I can't hardly read them.
Me neither.
Okay.
Sound the box.
Hold on.
Copy.
Hold on.
Woodland's copier. Who is that? We got a contract with Woodland's copier. Who do we do our, don't we have, we got a huge
Canon,
yeah, there you go. Okay.
That one needs to be, I'm not going to vote to take that one.
What is that? 480 set copier rental?
My understanding is for a high speed copy machine.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure what we're doing. I mean, we got a contract with Canon. That's who we're, the vendor that we're under contract with. But
we'll approve it.
So I'd make a motion to pay the bills with
it. We haven't approved any contract with Woodland's copier. I have a motion by Commissioner Brandon to approve all the bills except the $487.13 to Woodland's copier LLC. Do I have a second?
I'll second, I'm sorry.
I have a motion by Commissioner Brandon, a second by Commissioner Mars. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous. 3-0. Except for Woodland's copier.
Did you go to the Astros game last night?
I did.
How'd they win or lose?
They lost in the ninth.
I don't know if y'all been watching the Little League World Series. But we got a little team in Bernie, Texas that's really rolling. They're probably the best ones in the world. They play today at 3.
Bernie, Texas?
Bernie,
in the World
Texas.
Series? Well, that's awesome.
Sure is.
Bernie, that's over there close to New Braunfels, yeah, or somewhere, yep, in that general area. Yep.
About Lake McCann,
yeah, my kids, that's, are rolling, good, y'all.
That is awesome. All right, next item, number 7, consider approval of budget amendments. I don't remember any.
I didn't see any.
No budget amendments. Item number 8, consider approval of minutes of meetings of regular meeting July 10th, special meeting July 12th, emergency meeting July 17th, monthly meeting July 24th.
I can't vote for the meeting last week because I wasn't here.
It doesn't have last week's on it.
Ma'am?
It doesn't have last week's.
Okay,
these are just July's.
These are all July.
Okay. I'll make a motion.
I'll second that.
I have a motion by Commissioner Brandon, a second by Commissioner Mars. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous. 3-0. Next, number 9, receive and consider approval of July 2024 departmental reports.
I'm missing a few.
I'm missing veterans.
Which ones are you missing?
Veterans.
Really? That's unusual.
Yeah. And fire marshal.
Normal.
Veterans.
She must have been out. Well, that's unusual for her.
Fire marshal.
That was not unusual.
Well, I saw her last week, but yeah, that is unusual. Agri-Life.
Is that a motion, David?
That's a motion.
I second it.
I have a motion by Commissioner Brandon, a second by Commissioner Mars. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous. 3-0. Well, we got through in record time. What do you think about that, Mr. Dieter? All right, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Is everybody in favor of that? All in favor say aye. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure I hit all.